Some folks think that consciousness is like, consciousness is cool. They're mistaken. Consciousness is what causes all the trouble. Darting and presuming and making meaning and comparing stuff and placing yourself in the center of your imagination. What to do about this and what to do about that and what not to do about it, and overwhelmed with preferences that you didn't even know you had or don't even care to have. See all of this sparkling, scintillating urgency for converting present experience into something that's happening to me, is just not the case. Well, that could put all the New Age stuff and all the religions out of business, because you don't need to create a specific Genesis story and then impose on everyone how they're supposed to behave and then give them a solution to their malady. That doesn't work. The religions don't work, and the tarot doesn't work, and the mystics and the seers, they don't work. You can get out from under the seduction of consciousness with no effort. That means you don't have to create a worldview or a Genesis story that tries to describe or prescribe why this is the way that it is. And you don't need to tangle with your defilements or your ailments or your disappointments. You don't need to commit to a program of remedial action. And none of that. This doesn't commit itself to anything, but we seem to. Associative mind commits itself to meaning and individuation and vulnerability and disappointment and regret and desire and aspiration and attention seeking and celebrity, and it just runs restlessness tapes. By running restlessness tapes, it commits itself to some kind of appointed meaning. Then you're insane. I mean, instantaneously insane. You don't even have to ramp up. But just where you are, as you are, be where they're aware and as. You don't have to jump on the restlessness wagon. You don't have to try and get more from this or more from yourself. You don't have to busy yourself with avoidant psychological and emotional behavior, or control, or influence, or manipulation, or any kind of attention seeking. you can release yourself from any claim that consciousness may attempt to place upon you. And then you find yourself released from the familiar imposition of corporeal assertion or psychiatric assertion. The I, me, my goes into absolute effulgent abatement. Not through any effort, not through any comparison, not through knowledge, not through devotion, not through jnana.
Not through winning.
Not through winning. Yeah. Definitely not through winning. And then you don't have to manufacture some silly triviality like meditation to justify why you might sit around and do nothing at all. Fuck meditation.
That would be an interesting meditation.
Yeah, I mean, what exactly?
I thought it was napping.
Napping is good.
It's great.
Napping. Yeah. You simply come into the very ordinary recognition of, you know, disembodied euphoria. It's like, hello. You know, even peace and equanimity and shit like that is, that's bogus.
So fucking bogus.
It's so bogus.
Oh, God. It really is like reading a small child's book. You're like, oh, okay, peace, huh? That's
yeah,
cute.
Can't wait to get some. I don't know, dates and pretzels sound better than peace to me. It's so interesting to see the inertial tide of what we call our lives disappear in an instant. Just gone. And how many calories are spent trying to justify, corroborate, insist upon, trumpet and promote the imagination, the hysteria of the self-assignment of having lived a life and all of the content associated with it. When all of the content associated with it is just merely the fomentation of imagination. It's like you're a giant keg of beer and all you've been doing is fermenting. Now you have a big head. But nothing ever happened to you.
Just a lot of froth.
Just froth. Froth and bubbles.
Yeah.
And then finally you go down smooth. I mean, why do I want to contact dead Uncle Jim?
don't even want to talk to live
parents. I don't even want to talk to my living parents. I'm a bad son, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, so Jim Bob, how's our old doggy? How's our German Shepherd doing? There is no... Oh, here's the answer. Hi. Guess what? There is no knowledge. So why would you go anywhere to get some? Who are you supplicating for knowledge? Some psychic? Some disembodied or dead person? Some teacher? A pundit? A professor? There is no knowledge. Why pay to get some? And from whom? And where'd they get it from besides their own imagination? I mean, let's say some goon shows up and starts channeling Our Lady of Guadalupe. Or God knows who he or she's channeling. Who the fuck are they talking to? And whoever that is, dead or alive, where'd they get the knowledge that they think that they have that turns out to be relevant to we poor souls on earth? There is no knowledge. Quite frankly, it's not worth saying anything about this. I mean, anything doesn't mean we'll stop. But there's nothing to say about this. I mean, nothing. Just look how many times we've gone in search of knowledge or understanding or, you know, a solution, a remedy, a betterment, an intervention, right? From the experts that know better than we do about what to do with our, you know, miserable souls. Fuck. I mean, if you break your arm, you know, you go to the emergency room, that's cool. There's some practicalities, of course. But knowledge for the soul? Knowledge about reality? Knowledge about disembodied euphoria? Who's going to give you knowledge? Why ask them? It doesn't do any good. You just end up with a lot less money and a lot more shit on the walls. But you can do without, most likely. So you look at the primary restlessness, the primary seduction of consciousness itself, and you're like, ooh, well, this is about something. Ooh, I wonder what it's about. I sure hope it has something to do with me. I'd better figure it out and go in search of knowledge, like right away. I got some spare change. I could pay somebody for something. Why?
And only if it has something to do with me.
Yeah, only if it, for sure.
Otherwise,
yeah, I don't pay for readings about your fucking life. Hey, what are you talking about
that's
her
like,
for?
How does a codependent go to a psychic?
Yeah, really. Yeah, codependents go to psychics to talk about the people that they're enmeshed with. Yeah, what's going to happen to Johnny? Is your name Johnny? No, but I'm in a codependent addictive relationship with Johnny. Oh, that makes all the difference. Let's talk about Johnny. Don't you want to know what's going to happen to you? No, only through Johnny's eyes. Is he going to drink again? Really? 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 Yeah, he's going to drink again. Wow, man, what do I do now? You see, as long as we're in that loop of thinking that we should do something with, right, consciousness, you're fucked. Because then you're living, you know, under the influence of a succubus. Consciousness is really a succubus that doesn't really have your best interest at heart. Not that it aims to harm you. It just doesn't care about you at all. And all it does is, more of me, more of me, more of me. Oh, I love this. Oh, more of me. And it doesn't care who's listening or not. So that if you get involved with it, you're going to just end up getting involved in its inebriation. Oh, more of me. Oh, here I go again. Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, let's meditate. Or let's call the Dalai Lama to get some knowledge. Come on. let's eat vegan maybe today, just for today. Come on, let's do something about this. Come on. Come on. Pretty much that's all you got going on. You know, in your mind, it's like, oh, come on, come on. What? Come on. Come on. More. What? What's next?
Maybe it's all in flames. It's fine. That'll do.
Something. Anything. I should switch to vodka. Okay.
Only clear liquid booze. Have you thought about switching to vodka?
Yeah, really. Have you thought about switching to vodka? No, but I think I will now. If you look at how flimsy the waveform of consciousness seducing you into meaning is.
The universe
is doing all this. Yeah. The universe, right, is talking to us. So we become kind of loyalists to consciousness, and we're not even sure why. We don't remember having made the bargain, having agreed to be completely fussed about because consciousness is like, oh, what do we do now? Oh, I'm so happy to be me. Oh, my God. It's like, okay, you know, it's like, fine. You don't have to enroll in its you know, frivolous, giant, puppy-like madness.
Maybe all those years where, you know, the adults were doting over a cute little kid who then became not so cute.
Nobody in this room.
Still looking for that. Hey, why aren't you giving me attention? And the rest of the life is spent, you know, trying to get that attention. I don't know, that's one story.
Not untrue. I mean, it's one, you know, it's one reflection of a million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's still humano-centric, you might say.
That's right. You dream a humano-centric, you know, vector into place, and then, you know, you either get agreement or disagreement, or it wafts into a million other, right, reflections from the point of view of what you call your experiencing. Which turns out to be just the imposition of an impersonal restlessness that you'd be better off without.
What do you think happens when it kind of separates without any prompting? If you know what I mean, that separation from such a strong identification. I am this, and I'm going to make it better.
Yeah.
Don't mess with
it. Yes.
You belong to blah, 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 to uh-oh. What's this? Where's the center? Where's the edge? Where's anything?
Sure. Yeah.
I guess there is really no point where it starts or ends.
No.
Or where suddenly it's strongly identified or then suddenly completely unassociated.
Doesn't matter. A bunch of people will be happy to come up to you and talk to you all about their spiritual epiphanies. You know, they might even ask you for money in exchange for telling you stories about their spiritual epiphanies, and you might even be willing to pay it.
Want to buy an enlightenment story?
Want to buy an enlightenment? Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Actually, looking more at the dark side of that, where it's sort of shocking. I don't know why, but you know, not the euphoria, but the oh my God, everything that I was leaning on isn't even there. It doesn't have substance.
You can call it euphoric, you can call it shocking, it could be euphoric, it could be shocking. You could call it something, but it's not that thing. We don't know. And guess what? No matter how you felt about anything that's occurred, find it now. You don't even remember.
Right, so then referring to euphoria as a quality or state.
Mm-hmm.
Through a sensory bank,
right,
or transcendent of that.
Yes.
Question.
Yep.
Or it's an open question.
Yeah. Find out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could accuse this of being transcendent euphoria.
Because I know there's times it's weird. I feel like shit. I mean, this.
Yes.
And I'm like euphoric about the fact that it doesn't matter.
Uh huh.
At the same time, I think.
Yeah.
And then other times I'm just completely caught up or shut off. know, to deal with it.
Yes.
Forget it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just turn it off. Where's the switch?
Yeah.
Stop looking at the time.
Have a date.
Now at 8:32.
All right, then. 8:32 it is. Ramadan. It's first day of Ramadan. It's fasting for the day.
Okay.
In the spirit of supporting them, you know.
What is Ramadan?
What is Ramadan?
Pretzels.
No, I think it has to do with Jurassic
pretzels
World.
And dates.
Isn't it like a dinosaur?
Dawn and dusk. Fasting.
Oh, okay.
Dawn to dusk.
I didn't realize this was early. So it's like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Yeah.
It's lunar.
Yeah. It's like Easter. That's
to July 15th.
Does it involve vampires?
It could.
I didn't know you were a monk.
Oh, vampires are built, it's built in them. They're always fasting during the day.
Like that.
That's why they live so long.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because they fast.
Yeah, that's the whole, that's the big health thing now, fasting.
Is it? And vampirism?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it,
right.
It is.
It's true paleo.
They tell vampires.
I'm curious if those two fads go together.
Yeah.
Hmm. Something's up. This, or call it inner voice, right? Or it's more like
alter ego.
What do you call that guy that's with a top hat that sits in front of the circus and directs everyone's attention to what's happening in
the ringmaster?
Yeah.
So you have a ringmaster living inside your head, that's trying to direct your attention to the next, you know, the next act.
How does that affect me?
Yeah.
How does that look with me?
Yeah, and you see, so you can see this roiling apparent continuity of self-identification, so that the entirety of what's being imagined or quote perceived, were anything being perceived, is merely just kind of a reflective, dare I say, imposition about you, this inner, right? The inner minder, the inner ringmaster.
Because it's you, but it's not the you, you know to be you. So on one hand, it's a big, it's self-absorbed, but it's not little self-absorbed. I don't know what I'm saying.
Sure. Well, it's
like, you know, if you think the rock starts singing to you at the rock concert,
uh-huh.
In some ways that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can notice that our vocabulary, as concerns the strange malleability of identity, mm-hmm. is not that strong. We don't have as many words for how weirdly egoic we are as the Eskimos do for snow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, because the collective consciousness does not have a texturally nuanced vocabulary about these, what you're referring to, mm-hmm. right? The you that's a nuisance, or the you that's the entirety of, right, mm-hmm. everything. Or perhaps even that the entirety of everything could be free from you.
Even Sanskrit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, they, in that language and others, there are, you could say, more nuanced repercussions or inflections about the nature of consciousness than typically amongst the Romance languages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But you'll notice that no matter whether we call it self with the big S or self with the little S or big with the big U with the big Y or the little Y, or, mm-hmm. right? You can see how subtle representational prowess, the magic of representational prowess, creates a kind of a subtle affliction.
Mm-hmm.
Subtle affliction, yeah.
Yeah, because...
You're speaking of subtle affliction.
You want to turn the fan on or open some more windows? Okay. Yeah. You're onto something.
Is this open?
That one can open. Flip the switch up first.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that'll do it too. You know, once you get involved in instruction, like the Tibetans are really good at doing, you bought the farm. Because instruction is too solid. Instruction suggests, right, something's happening to you, it's not happening as well as it could be happening, or you're not feeling it the best way you could possibly feel it, you're not enlightened, but you could be enlightened, you're a fuck-up, so here's some instruction. And now if you follow this instruction, which is now another burden of, you know, oh God, commitment, I'm overcommitted. By virtue of following the instruction, something's going to happen to you. But it's too late. No instruction is necessary.
So the perception of fixing the primary is already a faulty
That's
perception.
Right. That's right.
Fixing what?
That's right. You've already bit into the hook of restlessness, and now you're being, you know, sucked toward the boat, sucked toward the net, and then someone gives you instruction. What? The instruction's not going to help. You're already, you're on your way.
The second you become interested in your behavior, you're already...
The moment you become interested in your own behavior, you're fucked. You're a dupe for Tibetanism.
Or anyone else's behavior.
You're a dupe for Tibetanism. Mm-hmm.
Really, it's like saying, like, that any interest in, like, how things are seemingly interacting at all.
Yes.
Is, like...
Yep. Too much interest.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. It's true. Yeah. But it's fun to flatline. You know, an entire culture's worth of religious and spiritual contribution by saying that, you know, there is no knowledge and there's certainly no point of going in search of instruction. Dalai. Now we're done. We're just done with you. We're done with all the accusations that you and your delightful Buddha want to make, and then we're done with all the spurious remedies that you try to enroll people into so that there could be less suffering. Then you just turn them into, you know, well-behaved automatons that don't really feel the way that they're behaving, but they're in, right, a conformist community where, like, meditation and, you know, behaving a certain way is necessary so that you don't get thrown out into a field of absolute poverty. Oh, that worked.
That's interesting. That is a mask.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Seductive mask.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so they build themselves up. You know, all the tulkus and the reincarnated guys, what they have names, right? You know, they have names. So they build themselves up because they live within the walls of some kind of abundance. And so then they have to do something. So they give you teachings to justify the fact that they're living within walls of abundance surrounded by, you know, unmanageable poverty. And that's Tibetan Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to dismiss it that way, but it's kind of true. And then they export it to the West, you know, and dumb fucks like Richard Gere go, oh, this is something, you know, let's sell it, you know, or eat, love, pray, and shit like that, right? You run off to go see the Tibetans do a sand painting, and they do the sand paintings really well so that they don't have to suffer in the world of absolute poverty. They can stay within the halls of, you know, some enough wealth so that they can all get diabetes by eating those little flower circles. It's enough wealth that they can all die from diabetes because they're eating too much flour.
That doughy bread?
Yeah. Yeah, they've all got diabetes, yeah. Yeah. But, of course, we, you know, we love and respect everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just that when you see all the way these cultures, you know, present themselves, and how they rely on spiritual or religious idolatry and instruction and accusation and remedy from accusation. It's also self-serving. The church is not self-serving, right? The Wailing Wall is not self-serving. The mosque is not self-serving. The White House, Capitol Hill, the citadels of corporate power.
Oh, no, they're totally, they have everyone's interest at heart.
Yeah, right.
Not those guys.
Yeah, TPP is in really in the best interest of the human constituency. We knew that.
Is there any entity that's not self-serving?
Find one's a good question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, any entity is self-serving. Freedom from entity, that's a different story.
Well, self couldn't exist without a boundary, right? And we're like one big conglomerate.
Yeah, when if nothing's actually causal, or the result of anything, or the cause of anything, then whatever you got appearing in your experience or appearing in your imagination is, in a strange way, completely autonomously appearing. Because it's not the result of anything, nor is it the cause of anything. But there's such a profusion of what appears to be events that could be stitched or sewn together by virtue of consciousness that it looks like, well, this is the reason for that, and that's the reason for that, and that's the reason for that, and that's the reason for that. But it's absolutely not true. I mean, even dependent origination is not true. And yet it's a real strong foundation, you know, for Buddhist liberation. But it's not the case. Nothing begat anything. Nothing is the cause or the result of anything.
So where do liver and kidneys come from?
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to ask the liver and kidney meister.
I think meister. That would be, you know, we've got a filter for that.
Yeah.
Filter.
Isn't it something? Boy, it's crazy, man. Cellular specificity and differentiation within the organ field, within the endocrine field, within the muscle, tendon, ligament, bone field, within the synaptic field, you know, or the tiny little cilia that help you hear and smell. What the fuck is this? You know, where's the blueprint for this shit?
It's all the same, which is even weirder.
It is. Yeah. It's too weird to, let's say, back off from the restlessness of consciousness so that you're not afflicted by anything. I mean, truly not afflicted by anything. You're not in need of knowledge. You're not in need of remedial action. There's no empowerments. There's nothing right and there's nothing wrong. You're completely done with any interest or any intervention, which is this. Your clock is clean. Wow. I wasn't expecting that shit. See, usually when we're so invested in finding a thing out or getting knowledge or empowerments from people, we're looking for a destination, right? We want to be fulfilled in psychological time, in geophysical time, at a destination other than here and other than now. Right? If I'm interested in fulfillment, then by virtue of being interested in fulfillment, it has to be other than here and other than now. See? Because if you weren't interested in fulfillment, there would be nothing other than here. There'd be nothing other than now. So if you're released entirely from the implication of consciousness at all, fulfillment is not on your agenda.
It seems like it would be never ending because once you're fulfilled, you want some space because you're so filled. And then you get space, then you're empty. And then
well, you can look at the rhythms of your own sine wave and see how you've gone. And we've all gone on the fulfillment and lack of fulfillment, you know, roller coaster, right?
That's like still in the realm. Like, I feel like what you're talking about is just that when you get a taste of the other fulfillment that you're talking about, that fulfillment. That's what you're looking for. That's the real fulfillment.
Yeah.
But you've just
Yes.
Been imagining that it's somewhere else.
Which is no fulfillment at all, because it's not object-oriented anymore.
Right. So it's not exactly the right word, but...
I know, that's right. It's very tricky. But to even respond to having an interest in fulfillment accuses you instantaneously of fulfillment having to be someplace else and at some other time.
Yeah.
Well, idealized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we wonder, I'm not fulfilled. What's the dealio? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, the reason you're not fulfilled is because you're interested in fulfillment. I would never have thought of that by my own. What should I do now? Nothing. Yeah, don't do anything. But the Tibetans are coming next week. Send them a check. If you look, as we look, at what we imagine is conjuring or suggesting or improvising a sense of identity, you can see how absurdly flimsy it is. The real big problem is we don't know what to do with ourselves with so much not time on our hands. We're so defined by our irritabilities and our aging or our retirement future. We're just obsessed. And so everyone is in an absolute panic.
Habitually obsessed
in an absolute panic. While the corporations that have more or less robbed you of your dignity for generations to come will not stop. They're insatiable. Mm-hmm. They're just absolutely insatiable. And when you look at the corporation as a model for one's own consciousness, we're insatiable. Restlessness is really an affliction of insatiability. And then restlessness as an affliction of insatiability conjures time-space. Then you're uber-fucked. And the corporations, right, as virtual people, thanks to the Supreme Court, behave exactly the same way. But they have a lot more at their disposal than you do. You know, who can you sue? Nobody. Monsanto? Everybody!
The health insurance companies for putting these in. But they like just put you on this phone thing where they transfer you and you get misinformation and it's like totally like some terrible bardo. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. Yes. That's right. Welcome to the corporate bardo.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of so-called humans employed by the corporate bardo. It's not doing itself. You know, they attract people at the top end of their class, right, to join their legal teams and their research teams. And their.
But what's interesting is that I'm imagining, like, how do white blood cells know when there's foreign bodies?
Yeah.
And if these... entities, as you call it, as big as they are, defined as foreign.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot more of those white blood cells.
Yeah.
Than there are those, those entities causing.
Yeah.
Nan, would you like a date?
No.
There you go. Have a date.
Shh. Say anything.
Perfect timing, yeah.
Sweet. Oh, hey, thanks. Almond popcorn dipped in dark chocolate with peanuts.
Kids, oh, kids.
These are okay.
No, penises are good.
Yeah, penises are good, but this is a nut free building, but it doesn't say anything about it. Mmm, not real good. Mmm. I don't know, why waste your time getting enlightened when you can have one of these?
Bring that as well.
What is this? That is weird.
So, have you cut yourself talking to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
There's trouble.
That happens a lot. Fights with people on the way to work and
yeah.
Is it like thinking out loud? Unless you start having a conversation.
Now we're back to the.
If you want to put a stop to one of those, you know, rants.
Yeah.
It's real simple.
Drive your car off a bridge.
Well, that's absolute. Which lets you live to fight another day. Just do it out loud.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Start yelling in the car out loud about all the shit that's going on in your head and the people that, you know, you need to correct for one reason or other or defend against. Just do it out loud. It's exhausting.
You do it for long enough and you end up screaming, I just want my diaper changed.
Yeah, really.
You can regress that far.
You know, all the way back.
Like me, myself, and Irene.
I'm wet and I'm cold and I don't know why.
Because I just scream so loud, I beat my
face. No, really.
No, we're back to the corporate part over it. Dial 1 to scream, fuck you. Dial 2 to scream, fuck me. Dial 3 just to blow up the entire situation.
Dial 1 to scream,
I'm
fuck you.
I'm on my head. Push 3.
No.
Dial 6 and you can get the CEO office and he'll answer the phone and you can talk to him.
Yeah.
Not...
Now, we trace mind, I don't know if it's out of, so much out of boredom, pretty much out of habit. We trace mind, we trace abstraction as a reflex of identification. I mean, our whole educational system, right, is based on abstracting, memorizing correctly for communicating either written or verbally that you have abstracted and memorized correctly and that you're rewarded if you memorize and abstract correctly and you are penalized if you do not fail to memorize and abstract correctly. So... And that starts when we're, I don't know, pretty much 1 minute or so out of the womb, you know. Mommy and daddy, is even though they're in their own bizarre euphoria, if we have but we have a mommy and daddy, you know, are the lighting, the hospital, the bustling, everything that's going on is already jumping on you to abstract and memorize correctly.
But that's all myth, too.
Yes, of course. I mean, we're just playing around with metaphors of social conditioning.
That's interesting. I'm thinking, like, just in my experience, like research in general is not really very prominent, at least in the younger.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? Okay.
finding stuff out like by eating a piece of milkweed and turning into a monarch.
I thought they found things out like this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, they just asked Siri. It's
to experience like
it. That's right. That's right. The thrill of actually discovering the natural world has been replaced by digitization at, you know, 1 year old.
But even that, in school, you're not tested on, like, your research skills. I mean, that is research in a sense.
Yep.
That's not what you're being tested for. It's totally just root.
Yeah.
It's memory and...
Yeah.
Regurgitation.
Yes.
It's not like
right.
How much information can you find out about this topic and piece it together congruently in a fun, creative manner? No.
Right. Yeah.
None of that.
That's right. What you should be rewarded on is, of course, everything. But within the context of having some kind of reward system, it should all be more or less based on liberation. Yeah. Right. Which is a way of, you know, not knowing anything about anything, but still having a profound capacity to research, you know, dream.
Research, assimilate, and express.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's all this really, like, doing.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now there's just an immediacy of information, which is so interesting, you know, like, it's all there, you know, this technology. I mean, not that you know everything from it, but it's just weird how you go from, like, I'm going to go excavate and go discover here and travel the world, and now you're like, okay,
I'm just going to Google search that.
I think I'll just go to Starbucks.
Yeah, Google search stuff.
Yeah, and enjoy
watching your videos.
Enjoy the mountains of China, right?
Via YouTube.
Euphemistically. Uh-huh. Right.
You can find that map of the world.
Voyeuristically, I will enjoy everything from my double shot mocha latte.
Climate controlled environment. Kind of nice.
Oh. I'm going to go there. I was just thinking, flying below the radar, you know, you pick a point on the map and you're actually skimming over the surface of the planet at a very high speed.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, you could.
Yeah.
You could be on
like
the top of Mount Everest with your iPad or something.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye, everybody.
Good night, Dan. Bye. You traveling this weekend?
Yeah, we do. Like
30 Where are you going? Colorado. Sweet. How long will you be there for?
And make sure that I can.
A week? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Weekend. I need
a babysitter. Are you flying into Denver or someplace cool?
Alex.
Denver?
Okay.
Nice.
I'll bring the report back.
Yeah.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. Have a nice week. Is there a reality? Is there reality? What's its nature? Right? Its behavioral proclivity. What is it made of? What can we do with it or about it? Right? How can we protect ourselves from saber-toothed tigers and cold winter nights? How can we, explore, sustain, thrive, and what does exploring and sustaining and thriving mean? And if we look at the kind of the barometer of the cultural presentation, we'll say, wow, it looks like the species made a wrong turn in terms of the miracle of existence, the miracle of exploration, the miracle of sustaining, the miracle of thriving.
Yeah, the word consume, consumption.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we've, like I think the Bible says, you know, we're worshiping Mammon, right? Is that the right presentation?
I don't remember.
Mammon?
The substance of the world.
Mana?
Mana. Mammon is plural, no?
Nana means butterfly in French.
We are worshiping the butterfly.
Cool.
Yeah. This is actually a string theory class. To see that reflection and meaning, assertion, regurgitation, abstraction, that is pretty much the entirety of our neurotic experience. All of the content that we imagine we're afflicted by, or that we've failed at, or that we've been shortchanged or passed over, or that's right or wrong with us, is only pouring forth, you know, as a field of abstraction, a field of imagination. And seeing that, you could say, is kind of like getting a powerful insight like you might from doing Byron Katie's The Work. Because the work is aimed at, right, revealing, maybe on a more interpersonal or emotive level, is it true? Is it really true? Who would you be without those thoughts? Right? Turn it around. Own entirely the imagination that you're accusing everyone and everything else mm-hmm. of. See that the affliction is just being conjured in your own consciousness, that the affliction is afflicting you. And then how might you feel were you no longer to impose that affliction upon yourself? I mean, that's the release point, right? So we're looking at that same kind of geometry, if you will, but more globally. As in
freedom from affliction of some sort or another.
Right, right, right. Instead of the affliction being specific to a person or an event or a disappointment or, you know, an ungrateful act that we may have suffered from our childhood, we're just looking at consciousness in its entirety, making these accusations and presumptions and setting up these energy fields for some form of self-celebration or self-deprecation. All occurring in imagination. The entire assignment of, you know, meaning and consequences, absolutely imagination. We're fucked. And to begin to appreciate that, not just at the so-called intrapersonal level, but perhaps the interpersonal level, or the, you know, intra-community level, or the intra-consciousness level, we're going, whoa, the whole fucking thing is dreaming, right? The whole field of affliction that the species appears to be suffering from is this urgency of imagination, this urgency of accusation, the restlessness of consciousness itself. Going and setting up patterns of insufficiency or vulnerability, right, or rage, and then, you know, the enmity of control and manipulation. Yeah. Woo. And as we deepen into the geometry and the revelation that this is all imagination, then it loses its sting. It loses its punch. We, you could say, constructively become less interested in dwelling through the filter of imagination, which a Tibetan might say is the anointment or the ignition of the rainbow body. Because now you're like, whoa, wait, what is this? You're waking up to qualities or the texture of experiencing itself, unafflicted by accusation and retribution, unafflicted by accusation and some kind of remedial, right, teaching.
It's outside of the imagination. Like, something about that sunk in on a level of, like, I don't know how to express this,
if I'm, like, just even the smallest level of imagining me to be a person, like, I have to actually imagine me to be a human being and for this room to be full of objects.
Mm-hmm.
And then for that, like, so there's so many layers of imagination.
Yes.
Placed.
Yes.
Not just, like, behaviorally, but.
That's right.
I mean, like,
yep.
Really.
Yes. Yep.
Everything.
Yeah, that's why Roger Waters wrote The Wall. I mean, I haven't talked to him about it. He doesn't call me anymore.
Can I interview him or anything? He doesn't call me anymore.
No, but when you see how, dare I say, infinite and nuanced the construction of the wall is, because it's not just behavioral, it's not just emotive, it's not just circumstantial. It's profoundly weirder and more nuanced. Like, what must you believe about present experiencing for it to become afflicting?
It's just like, I guess I was thinking, like, most people don't consider me thinking I'm a human in this room to be imagination. They consider that to be reality.
Yes. Yeah, they're starting, their reality starts way too late. After so much pride and investment has already been placed on the table. And so the suffering is happening from, you could say, a plateau of confidence that crazy folks like us are interested in unwinding. Dialing back plateaus of confidence in reality itself to see what consciousness might actually be up to, not what we imagine it's up to.
There's a lot of imagining when you're like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Layers and layers.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can
real deep in imagination.
Yep.
For a long time.
Yes.
Seemingly.
Yeah. As you become, let's say, more familiar with your own innate innocence, not an innocence that you've earned or purchased, your own innate for free. Right, self-dignifying innocence. Your capacity to see through the transparency of this incredible cacophony of imagination, you could say, gets more subtle. You're like, whoa, and you're not even parsing it, right? You're not parsing all of the discrete elements of imagination because they're far too many. Plus, they imagine themselves into view instantaneously,
right.
So you can't ever rid yourself of them, and you can't really even inventory them because they're just coming at you nonstop. Imagination is coming at you nonstop, and it has no boundary. So if you think you can start enumerating what's happening in imagination, you're fucked because it's boundless.
So is the form and formlessness the enumerating and the non?
Sure.
Labeling?
Yeah. Yes, you could say that. That form, the appearance of form, right, is the consequence, not that anything could be, of assignment, of comparison, of discernment. Yeah. Form is nothing other than misunderstanding the magic of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though discernment comes with, right, woo! Discernment comes with, it's innocent.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually convey form.
Which would mean it doesn't really land in a central location of
yes.
selfness.
That's right. That's right. What we call self is really kind of it's an amorphous, boundaryless, right, texture. It's a plasma. It's not, there is no, it's just plasma.
It's all just imagination. It just seems like becoming aware of a broader broader spectrum is not a good word.
That's good.
Just more layers of imagination. Of
yeah.
Some.
Yes, it's the recognition of that the perceiving consciousness is not fixed. It itself is an infinite plasma of possibility and nuance, and that which it perceives is also not fixed. It's another infinite plasma of possibility and nuance. So neither the perceiver nor that which is perceived are real independently, individuatedly. It's just plasma all around. And there is no actual demarcation between the experiencing, the experiencer, and that which is experienced. because it's just holy fuck.
In the same way that there's like clearly no, like we always use the dream analogy, but like right now, if I start imagining myself as a person with things to do in the future, that's
yeah.
the same metaphoric kind of fractal metaphor of imagination that's going on when this imagines me to be here in the first place and
yes.
then layers it up.
Yep.
Layers upon layers.
Layers and layers, yeah.
Imagination.
That's right. It's layers and layers. And curiously, the layers and layers don't have a genesis. They didn't start. They don't actually have a consequence. They're not actually occurring. But you can discern them and speak about them as if, whoa, it's layers and layers, but it's...
just this...
But it's yet, right, it's weird. It's like, well, wait, no, I don't know what to say about an infinity that really does not have an experiencer or an experiencing or that which is experienced. It doesn't. It's just an infinity all the way around, and it's not made of anything other than itself. And if it were made of something, you can't find what it's made of because it's just made of itself. So it's just, hello, hi, I got this. Right, and we, no matter how we might writhe and wiggle about, we can't escape it. But you sure as shit don't have to be a self. You just don't. You don't have to be a self. And that is not something that's going to so-called happen to you in time. Because there is no time. Because nothing has ever happened to you. It's not happening to you now, and it's not likely to happen to you in the future, because all you've got is nothing at all, just dreaming. And what's it dreaming about? Well, it doesn't really know. Nor does it care. All the meaning that we, whatever we are, whatever this is, assigns to we from the point of view of, you know, a human life and circumstances and events appearing in that human life comes from where exactly? What? Where's the meaning coming from? Where's the authority? Where's the certainty? Where's the accusation coming from? And how does it land so that now you know what's true? How do you know what's true? Well, you don't. Because everything at your disposal that insists on what this is or isn't, therefore making things true to the contrast of being untrue, is completely imagined. There is nothing real. There's nothing true that could possibly have the confidence to say, well, this is true and that's not true. So it's random. Is that bizarre? I mean, everything that you think, everything that you know, everything that you enjoy and suffer from is not true. And the meaning that you've assigned to it, as if you've assigned it to it and you haven't, it comes from where exactly? What contrast? What authority? None. I mean, it's completely randomized.
See, if I want something to be true, all I have to do is filter out anything that makes it not true.
That's one way to go.
Which is what we do all the time.
Yeah.
We have a view, and then we reinforce it by hanging around with similar views.
Yes.
And opposing others.
Yep.
Until some point goes, wait a minute, something fishy going on here.
Yeah. This is a...
There's a shapeshifter in our midst.
Yeah. This is a fishy encounter group.
All I can think of is just a fractal pattern, which is like so much different of a feeling.
Yeah.
And it's just a picture.
Yep. A non-lasting.
A non-lasting, constantly
yeah.
refresh, constantly
yeah.
on refresh fractal picture.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like,
that's right.
What?
That's right.
What are you going to say about that?
Yep. And that.
You don't have to analyze the wet refresh or all the little things.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Yeah. Yes. That's it.
That's part of the pattern you will. So
you're not going to stop.
No. Yeah, I wrote a Jed McKenna tweet today. It said if you try to disrupt the pattern, or you disrupt the pattern, it just becomes part of the patterning. Or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't, this, you know, Peter would say something like, this can never depart from itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that no matter what appears in it, it's going to co-opt it in. Yeah, it's just going to co-opt it in. You can't leave here. But here is not a place, nor is it anything actually happening. So you don't really need to leave here because you're not in a place to begin with. So any resistance vector that shows up, you know, in terms of breaking free from whatever we think this is, I mean, good luck. It's just going to be engulfed in itself. Where are we going? and then to see and feel the actual texture of experience, you know, as an undulating and non-lasting fractalization, dreaming fractalization. That's the bright. That's the revelation of the bright, is to see the genesis of experiencing itself is absolutely made of nothing, and yet it has a certain kind of, you know, there's a certain kind of affection for it, but it hasn't become anything. And so you're not for an afflicted being in search of teachings, remedies, empowerments, justifications, or any kind of triage to release you. Sweet.
You're just like a magical being experiencing your magical self.
Yeah, magical.
Whether you're happy or not.
Doesn't matter.
Not a behavioral thing.
Oh, it doesn't matter, yeah.
You hate the whole thing.
Nah, you can complain. You can complain about everything, as I like to do. Yeah. And isn't it interesting that the revelation of the bright has nothing to do with knowledge, it has nothing to do with conditioning, it has nothing to do with what you believe in? Nothing. No, it's just, wow, this is some absolute shit without having to be absolute.
No need to pass the test first.
No. Uh-uh. And that's the tipping point, you see. You have a few seconds or a few moments of like, well, this is a fractal mess. Like that thing you had on Sunday, right? What was that called? For breakfast.
Oh, the hot mess, yes.
There you go. All right? It was a hot mess. So here's this. This is a hot mess.
Well, by all means.
Yeah.
Consciousness.
Consciousness is not a thing.
Yeah.
That which is perceived is not a thing. The texture of perceiving, which might suggest time space, is not a thing. You get a few seconds of that, waft through whatever this is or isn't, and you're fucked. That's the tipping point. Now, organically, attention and awareness, which now has felt itself completely released from origin, from genesis, and from consequence, just wants to go back to being itself. You just want to go back to being yourself because all of the inertial disappointment of life as a human, you can't do it anymore. You just can't do it anymore. You can't frame yourself that way anymore because you've gotten a taste of that this is non-afflictable.
So it's not a small world after all.
It's not a small world after all. Yeah.
It's not a world after all.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it really strange? You see, the loyalty that we might have for phenomena, somehow because scientists, as if there were any, or I would say more appropriately, bankers. It's the bankers that have loaded you up with Big Bang Theory, not the physicists. The bankers decided on which physicists were going to get money and which physicists were going to get published, mm-hmm. and which body of physics was going to be sold to the general population to discuss, right, to set forth the game plan for reality. Not the physicists, it's the bankers and the corporations that did this. So what we think reality is not coming from science, it's coming from the finance people.
The Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory is what you're suffering from, not the Big Bang Theory. Thank you, it's true. It's the Big Bang Theory.
Really, when you start looking around at all the different opinions about all the different stuff, you're like, wow, how did anybody decide, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you can find it. I mean, there are, you can see when, as industrialization started kicking in, And, you know, the European, you know, bank cabal got their hands on, you know, what the truth was going to be. That's how that occurred.
And it was run by men, so it was like...
And it was absolutely run by men. Yeah, that's right. So we're all suffering from a misanthropic and misogynist dream created by bankers so that you could be a wage-earning chattel. It's true.
Did you watch my YouTubes with the family playing the game?
Yes, I saw that one. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Where did you post it?
Reuters.
Oh, okay. I'm checking. Check my mail once more.
The Amy Schumer Bill Nye one was the best. I'd seen that already.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling him about it. Actually, those stones were the best. Oh, it turns out the whole purpose of the universe is just so women in their 40s can have a dream board and manifest really dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
The world is really just...
That was when Bill Nye said at the end, this is all fuck, it makes no fucking sense, or it's all bullshit, it makes no fucking sense.
Girls said something like tied it together in some ridiculous way.
No, for
that doesn't even make any fucking sense. That's ridiculous. It's fucked. Oh my god, that was so funny.
Mm.
Like, I was fucking my boss's hat, my husband. And she's like, and then I just saw the word chill on a shirt, and I was like, keep on fucking him. And I was like, yeah. Oh my god. Oh,
night sky sangha. Mm-hmm. Pretty focused and pretty contained.
It was just so funny. It's so true. Like, the universe is just a giant dream board.
When Don Juan gave Carlos mescalito, peyote, you know, it was done in the context of cracking Carlos's solidarity with materialism. It wasn't just for drug entertainment purposes, which is the reason we take drugs. But it had an actual shamanic vector in mind, right? Which was to release him from, you know, materialism. And once he was cracked through those encounters, now he was open to a different depth or subtlety of education, of reorientation. So you look at a guy like Peter Brown, for instance, that'll say cool shit about, you know, time and consciousness and space and presence and the textures, and, you know, he lays it out kind of nice, like he kind of lays it out like a really nice tarot reading. And you're like, That's fucked up. That's I don't get that. That's fucked up. That's weird. You know, so your mind is getting unhinged from the comfort zone of what you believe to be operating reality. You're rethinking what might be true through secular observation, right? Fairly simple interpersonal, intrapersonal, secular observation about what's happening in your very experience. You're like, wow, the guy's right. I mean, I kind of dart around and I can't really hold anything still for very long, and if I stare at a blank wall, it goes Disney. I'm like, I wonder what this guy's really talking about. So you have, just like Don Juan giving peyote to Carlos, you know, you're getting a dose of peyote, or call it apparitional disruption, by going into a certain reflection on reality in a way that you can track up to a point. But then underneath that, right, the deeper inoculation are these flowing or cascading tastes of freedom from apparition. And that hooks you in a different way. Right? Mentation hooks you at some level, right? Emotional dillying about hooks you at another level. I don't know, maybe Pamela Wilson, Byron Katie, you know. You get hooked at various levels of interest.
It's like taking you through different levels, layers of imagination.
Yes.
In some way.
Yep. Right.
Taking you on a little roller coaster ride.
Yeah. I mean, even Ram Dass, who I have not that much respect for, though I don't dislike the guy, you know, spoke with great confident tones coming back from India, sucking down a lot of LSD about the causal body and the emotional body and the physical body. You know, he was going through all these rainbow teachings really early on. I mean, still 60s, you know, late 60s. He had wild hair and stuff, and everyone was like, this is the most fun I've ever had. Let's take more LSD. And, of course, Trumpo is riding on that same wave of naivete. Yeah. So when you commit yourself to a certain kind of, you could say, body of teaching or body of discovery, you have all of these potentiometers, right? You can dial in different wavelengths across the spectrum because you're multi-wavelengthed.
Multiversed.
You're multiversed. Yeah, your FM and AM and, mm-hmm. you know, your ham. Well, you especially. CB, right? C.
In fact, that was my CB.
That was my CB handle. The big ham. Hey, big ham. What's coming up on 95 South? Big bopper. So Smokey's on my tail. Oh, let's pull over.
Once he sees you're having a conversation with yourself in the car, I'll
Yeah, are you on a CB? I don't have a CB. No, I was just talking out loud, officer. To anyone that would listen. Smokey's on your tail, out 10-4. 10-4, gonna stop at the Wawa. No, I don't have one, officer. No. Just talking to myself in my little microphone here. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't have a CB, but I got CBD.
I think I might have HPD.
Yeah, really. I might have HPD or THC. I'm pretty dosed, if that's what you're asking. No, you won't smell anything. It's all edibles. Yeah. sorry. You get a small taste that you're not made of anything. You didn't come from anywhere. You're certainly not going anyplace. And you learn, you become acquainted with a quality of relaxation which is truly transhuman. And it definitely is a challenge, but it's a fun challenge to talk about these nuanced ways of feeling one's own experience with what we call typical conformist consensus reality vocabulary. It's a challenge. You have to play around with the word forms and the implication of the word forms and the, you know, the spirit and the feeling and the texture and the room and the bandwidth that we're hanging out in so that we can use word forms that we pretty much understand and agree to, but that lend themselves to, you could say, a shared appreciation of plasma. Who knows, maybe someday it creeps up on you and realize you don't have to mess with this anymore. It creeps up on you, you don't even notice it happening. You just organically start withdrawing from the heresy of your own mind, and you function as you function, and the moods come and go, and what you like and don't like comes and go, and you get invested, and you don't get invested, but this thing just keeps creeping up on you. And you don't even notice it, that you're just not yourself. You can't find the self. You can't find the self who you took yourself to be.
It's so weird. It's so, you know, you just... I think that somebody else would just something would be apparent, like in the so-called objective, you know, reality. But it's not in the nothing.
No, so it's pretty locked down out there. Consensus reality is pretty locked down. It's easy to break in. Not so easy to break out. Las cucarachas en Tron, pero no pueden salir. It's like the Hotel California. You can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave.
I'm picking up the fellow in mentoring Saturday.
Mm. Oh, he's out?
After 1 year.
Hey, good for you. What a nice anniversary.
Yeah.
Beautiful work.
I've known him for 2 months.
Sweet.
Yeah, he's got a job now.
Oh,
that's cool.
I'm going to go back to
him. Oh, that's great. Don't bring him here. I don't want him to go back to jail.
He's definitely not one of the
places and things.
Yeah. Keep him on the straight and narrow. What time is it? Oh, God, we have like 1,000 more hours left. We don't have to continue.
Yeah. You know, that identification thing is a curious thing. Is that when I'm flying high and it's associated with my conditions, it feels great. But I'll tell you what, it's got its opposite.
Oh, doesn't it? Yeah.
And all of a sudden the conditions are changed and it's not looking so nice.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm down in the dumps.
Yeah.
It's because you were riding I don't know.
You were riding an apparitional waveform that you called yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was flying a bird without wings.
This is dukkha. This is what the Buddha intended by dukkha, the association with circumstances and events as self. So by riding high, which is fine, I mean, please, everyone should ride high for as long as you can, even if you come crashing down, who gives a fuck? I mean, ride high. But we can see that by identifying self or with self according to, you know, apparitional circumstances and events that are non-lasting, that's anicca, right? Or anatta, no, anicca, non-lasting, nothing lasts. So we're in an apparitional swoon, and it feels good. So we associate self with all of this stuff, but of course the circumstances and events being non-lasting are going to change. I mean, they could go 180 on you. And so then the consequences of, you know, inflation becomes deflation. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, really, there's not like any, it's not like you're doing it or I'm doing it or that we should even do anything about it. I mean, really, that dismantles the whole of Buddhism. Don't do anything about it.
What's interesting is that the urgency was not forthcoming.
Yeah.
I just was like, yeah, it sucks. And then it passed.
That's right.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It passed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a different power. Power is a funny word. I don't like it so much. Leverage, maybe. I don't like that either.
That's even worse.
It could be worse. Yeah.
That's way worse.
But
it's, is
I know. I got a big lever here. I'm gonna move that elephant. I'm gonna move that elephant off my car.
Leverage.
Right.
Anything.
Maneuver.
Yeah, but you see, it's that. It goes back to that notion of. That suffering is something that something should be done, that something should be done about it, right? And suffering is not anything, and nothing need be done about it truly, because it's the genesis of it is a compounding of misunderstanding, is a compounding of being twizzled around by the fundamental restlessness of consciousness itself. So it's better not to reply to suffering. We can't obviously escape it. You know, there's too many therapists that need to be paid right? And all kinds of professional helpers that need to be paid to do something about suffering. And I certainly get that. More talking,
well,
you could say.
Well, that's where we get these snacks, you know. So
yeah,
there won't be any more popcorn with dark chocolate or anything.
If you stop seeing clients.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, just 86 on what I said. Holy shit, no snacks? Hey, let's reel it back. Let me destroy the tape. I don't want anything to fuck with my snacks.
I need a drink. Water.
It's too weird that fuck. You know what word? It's too weird that the profundity of you, unafflicted, has nothing to do with knowledge. It's not winning, right? It's not the culmination or the consequence of anything.
That's in a relative. I know you're not referring to relative in the sense of if I'm learning an instrument and I get really good at it and I have a recital, it culminates into a demonstration of skill.
Yes.
But I realize what we're talking about here is really the field that holds that whole dance and these kind of things that aren't simply learning an instrument, but I'm fucked as a person and I need to fix it.
Yeah.
Activity.
Yes.
That level of, yeah, there is no, what do you call it, end sight in that because it's a faulty premise to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Because that's where the pointer tends to be, not the everyday things or the rewards, you know, hard work, you might say, in a craft.
Yeah.
But if the craft is you, beware. You'll be carving for a long time.
Well, we're accustomed. Yes, we're accustomed to, let's say, hearing something like religion or spiritual or New Age shit being about something. Therefore, it means that we do or not do something with all of this so-called knowledge that we're getting. And so we can't help but to then make it about the relevancy of what I call my life. But what we're doing here is we're not talking about anything that could possibly be relevant to your life. Even though it could be looked at as either utilitarian or non-utilitarian, as utopian or dystopian, we're not really talking about something that has any value to you.
So then where would you be? What would the interest be and the attraction to the attention
right.
that happens in presence?
Yeah. Can't say.
What's the question?
What about the interest that has us here?
The interest here?
Here we're listening, we're talking on occasion, and there's something happening.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying like just because you get together with other human, so-called human beings?
Just what's the motivator? Is that part of the question?
No, I'm seeing that there is natural interest, and there is.
Oh yeah.
And there's natural connectors.
Yes.
But we tend to at times take it and make it much more than simply what it is.
Yeah. Right.
And then it becomes troublesome, complicated.
Political, yeah.
And you know.
Uh huh.
A goal unto itself, and before you know it, you're spinning.
That's right. Yeah, everyone becomes Monsanto.
Or you go, I like this world. This is a great world, you know. And you've got something right here that you're controlling.
Yeah.
And then there's the world.
Yeah.
So the thing breaks, and all of a sudden you, shit.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not the right color. It's not the right tone. It's not the right texture. The feeling sucks.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes, the entire field of apparition, right? consciousness, the experiencer experiencing, and that which is experienced, the entire field of right apparitional presentation. It includes preference and feeling and not feeling and what to do and what not to do about and time and space and, you know, vulnerability, viability, right? The preoccupation about what happened to me, what's happening to me, what will happen to me. Yeah, all of that. It's instantaneous.
So why am I interested in this conversation?
I could say shit about it, but it's kind of up to you.
Yeah, I feel like there's like this subtle, like this loyalty thing that we talk about. It's like the loyalty, something about your interest shifts from being interested seriously in the human framework to,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or all the apparition, not just human, but all the apparition,
yeah.
To just a more kind of textural, called primal experience.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you can't enjoy all that shit simultaneously.
Right.
As it's.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
So is that the same as stream entry then?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. It is.
What did you say, stream?
Stream entry.
Stream entry.
Mm-hmm. Stream entry.
It's Buddhism. It's Buddhist. Stream entry is, you know, the practices and the inspiration have come to a degree of fruition where there's recognition of emptiness, right, in a manner of speaking.
Now I get it.
Yeah, and we, you know, in our vocabulary, at least this week, we would say a recognition of the bright. Mm-hmm. The bright is the bright is the bright is the bright. There's nothing other than the bright is the bright is the bright is the bright. So stream entry is now becomes, you could say, the principal motivating or captivating interest as to why you're fucked and you can't spin around and go back to consensus reality. Yeah, your only way forward, your only way is forward. Your only way is through. as this beatitude, which is what you already are, sneaks up on you and makes itself known to you. And ideation and abstraction take a back seat to being.
Take a backseat to being. They're not necessarily not present,
yes.
Or available, and
right.
You can access them and,
yep.
Have fun with them and,
yep.
Play with them, but,
yep.
the loyalty is not to them.
Right.
It's not with them. It's,
yes.
Not, because you see that they're just how ridiculously flimsy and whatever. It's like air. You're just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Impersonally, apparitionally appearing.
Yeah, you don't have to grab one and pull it in and then make, you know, turn it in. Just stays in the back.
Yep, yep, yeah. Yeah, it's quite clear to you that this isn't about anything. So your compulsion to occupy experience as an apparition or to quarrel with other apparitions it's just not so loud. But it doesn't mean you can't have a good bout of road rage if someone, you know.
No, and it can be fun.
It's a thrill.
Enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. Fuck you, motherfucking Tibetan.
Like
guys, you guys drive. You drive like girls.
I'm like, I like to do it. Yell at myself. Make grumpy old men faces. And
yeah. No, this is a trip.
I've been scenarios that scare me still, you know.
Oh, yeah.
For an afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm really good at that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm terrified. Of what? I don't remember, but still.
It's like going to a picture show.
Yeah, really. You turn out to be the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We really hope you enjoyed the broadcast.
Yeah.